I don't know about what it is for you guys, but have you got something that you're pretty scared of? Something that just gives you the absolute heebie-jeebies? And if you, you know, if you come across that thing, you just think, you know, nah, I'm out of it. I'm out. Every man for themselves. It might be snakes or spiders or sharks. But when you put in that situation, there's just this shift. And you forget about everything else, and all you want to do is get out of there and survive. It's funny, when we first moved to Dalby, my wife Naomi and I, we rented this house for the first little while, and there were a lot of things to get used to, but there's also a lot of creepy crawly things to get used to here in Dalby. Mice was one of them. I can't handle mice. I'll happily deal with them once they're on a sticky pad or they're stuck in a trap. I caught three in the office yesterday when I came to practice my talk. So I'm fine when they're dead, but when they're alive, look, yuck. I don't want to know about it. Some spiders are like that for me too. And generally speaking, I mean, I think they're this like manageable size and speed that you can handle them, and I can deal with them and get rid of them. But I remember at our old house, we had one in the kitchen, and so you know, I got in there and I dealt with it, and that was fine. But what wasn't fine was only moments later, what must have been like the mummy spider came out from under our dishwasher. And yeah, oh my goodness. The first spider was a decent size, but at the time the mother might as well have been the size of my hand. It was enormous. So I ended up on the kitchen bench and just throwing things at it, hoping that I'd kill it. So you know what, when it comes to spiders or sharks or snakes, I get the whole survival mentality. But when it comes to Jesus, it's a different story. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to see that this story is about people running away. This story is about people being scared. This is a story where I reckon if there was a kitchen bench nearby for them to jump up onto, then they would have jumped up on the kitchen bench. So we're going to see what God does with someone who runs away and what God does with someone who runs away in the nude. We're going to look at it across 3 points. We're going to look at abandonment, acknowledgement, and redemption. But let's kick off with abandonment. But before we do that, before we go forward, we need to go back a little just to give us a little bit of an understanding of where we are in this passage. So Jesus, right before he was arrested, he was eating dinner with his disciples. He was telling them that they're going to abandon him. And he quoted this prophecy from Zechariah, saying that I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Peter, who was one of Jesus' disciples, replies by saying, even if everyone else falls away, I will not. And I think Peter was saying what many or all of the disciples would have been feeling. He then says that, you know, others may be weak, but no, I'm strong. I'd never abandon Jesus. But Jesus, he knew better. And he's assuring Peter that before the rooster crowed, he would disown Jesus 3 times. Jesus knew. He knew that all of his followers, even the most passionate, were going to leave him. And Jesus would go to the cross alone. We then jump forward a few hours, and the disciples have lived up to their reputations. They fell asleep when they should have been praying. One of them betrayed Jesus and handed them over to the Jewish authorities so that he could be crucified. Another one got all hot-headed and chopped off a bloke's ear. So the disciples, they haven't really run away at this point. They haven't saved the day, but they haven't abandoned him. But that's the thing that happens next. Just as Jesus is being arrested, all of the disciples, just as Jesus predicted, they flee. They leave him all alone. So what's going on here? As we pick up our passage, you'd be forgiven for thinking that Jesus had just robbed a bank or blown up a building. He's being treated like some sort of dangerous criminal. And we hear Jesus asking that very question. In verse 48, if you read from the ESV, Jesus says, have you come out against a robber, coming out with swords and clubs to capture me? So I think it's pretty clear here that Jesus feels that he was being treated in a way that was far in excess of the sorts of things that they were arresting him for. Jesus wasn't a robber. He was a teacher. And yet he's being treated this way. And as all this is happening, all of his followers, all of the ones that seemed pretty adamant that they weren't going anywhere, well, where are they? We see in verse 50, all of his disciples deserted him and ran away. They abandoned Jesus. Trouble struck, and they left. And this idea of deserting Jesus, it's not something that was just limited to this time with Jesus' disciples. It's something we still see even today. Christians that find themselves fearful in their faith and wanting to run away. Surely I'm not the only one who's been asked, since yesterday, or since Friday, how was your Christmas? And you'd say, oh yeah, it was good. We got to spend some time with the family, or we could spend some time with the kids. But how many of us actually say, oh well, and we went to church on Christmas Eve? I think we get worried sometimes that if we share with a non-Christian friend about Jesus that we might not be cool anymore. We might not be socially acceptable anymore. That's true, it happens. I know, I've done it myself. And, we've just had Christmas for another year and I got to thinking the other day that there are so many people all around the world that are more than happy to enjoy the spoils of time off, of parties, ridiculous amounts of food, without really acknowledging the real reason why all of these things come about, without acknowledging Jesus. And Christmas without Jesus, for us here today, that just seems ridiculous, right? And I wonder if there are some people who celebrate Christmas and they ignore all that. They know that it's because of Jesus that we do it, but they choose to ignore it. They choose to deny it, or they choose to run away from it. And most people, they won't say that out loud, but if we fill it with enough family or food, there's just no room left to think about Jesus. And I'm certainly not saying that Jesus' disciples were necessarily like that, but we can certainly see from this passage that they were worried. They were scared. And that's why when push came to shove, they ran away from Jesus. And it wasn't just the disciples that ran away either. And this is the reason why we're here. This is why we picked this passage. We see right at the end of it, verse 51, another man who'd been following Jesus, who was wearing only a linen shirt. When the mob tried to grab the young man, he slipped out of his shirt and he ran away as well, naked. Now, there's a lot of conjecture about who this mystery streaker is, but the truth is, we actually don't know who he is. And Mark's left him anonymous for a reason. And it's so that we can all identify with him. It could have been us who ran away. But Jesus was the one man that was willing and able to go to the cross. Everyone else abandoned him. But the important thing to remember out of this is that just because we've chosen in that moment to turn away from Jesus, to run in that other direction, it doesn't mean that we need to keep running that way. Definitely not. And you might be like, oh, Ben, what are you talking about? I'm not really sure that I run away that much. But how's this for an example? Netflix. Most of us would have spent a chunk of this year binge-watching one or several or 20 different TV shows or movies during lockdown. But I reckon there are some times where I'll choose not to watch something because I don't feel like it's going to help me to honour Jesus. But when you're talking with your friends, especially non-Christian friends, and they ask you, oh, have you seen this, or have you watched that? And I'd say, oh, no, I didn't really like it. And the reality is that's probably not true. I probably did like it. But I just don't want to say to people that I didn't watch something because it doesn't help me to love Jesus, or it doesn't help me to love others. And I don't want to be judged for potentially embarrassing choices, choices that I make because of my faith. But you see, refusing to acknowledge those embarrassing choices is just taking a couple of quick steps away from Jesus. And in trying to not make it awkward or embarrassing with the people around you, I think you just to make it awkward and embarrassing with Jesus. It's an easy way of denying Jesus, or abandoning him again. The naked man in our passage ran away because he didn't want to suffer for being with Jesus. But here's the incredibly comforting thing. Knowing that even though we might deny Jesus, either by the things that we say, or the things that we do, or the things that we choose not to say or do, that Jesus doesn't run away. Jesus doesn't abandon us, because he was obedient to God and he didn't stray from that path. Even though it meant suffering and certain death for him, it actually means forgiveness and redemption for us. Even when we've abandoned him, we have the opportunity to be welcomed back with open arms. There's no better example of this than the parable of the prodigal son in Luke's gospel. A son who decided that he knew better. He takes his inheritance, he abandons his family to go and live the high life in a foreign land, only to run out of money and wind up sleeping with the pigs. Then he acknowledges that he's missing his father and his family, and he decides to return home. So as he returns to his father, and this is from Luke 15, verse 20, as he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him and kissed him. And that parable, it's so, so powerful, isn't it? His father could have just as easily fobbed him off. Could have said to him, well, no, you made your decision, you left, deal with it. But he didn't. And neither does Jesus. We might get scared, or we might get embarrassed at times to call ourselves Christians, but that doesn't change Jesus' stance. That doesn't change God's stance. We are welcome to come back to him at any time, to run back to him at any time and be redeemed. And if we're following Jesus, sometimes it means running into awkward situations. Sometimes it means running into things that we'd rather jump up on that kitchen bench and avoid. Like when we're talking about Netflix or things that we watch. We're just going to have to say that I can't watch that because it doesn't help me to be a Christian. And we need to be willing to share that with others, to stand up for our faith and stand up for Jesus. And if you're heading into a situation where you think that that's going to be hard, then I'd encourage you to take a moment to pray for that situation. Pray for any temptation that you might have to disown him. I mean, he's going to be with you anyway, so you might as well let him help you. Let the Holy Spirit come alongside you and fill you with the words to say, and let the power of your faith shine out. Another way is to remind yourself that you're part of something greater. In the end, the disciples, they stood for Jesus because he stood for them. See, the ultimate goal of the disciples, it wasn't the preservation of those reputations, or even the preservation of their lives. Their aim was to serve Jesus faithfully, just like he'd done for them, and in the hope that others might also be saved. And if you're here today and you've accepted Jesus' salvation, then we exist for the same reason. And I think that knowing that we have that purpose can help us to have that courage that we need to do the right thing. So, we've talked about Christians who think that they're not running, but we've seen evidence that says that they are. And then here's this other group of people who also think that they're not running, a group that might say, oh, well, I don't care what type of TV show we talk about. And you know, maybe you come to church on a Sunday, maybe you're really supportive, and you say to other people that that's great. But you're actually not really seeking anything to do with God here. You're actually just coming and being nice. When in reality, you're doing whatever you can to avoid the deep stuff with God. You're standing up on the kitchen bench and you're throwing things at it as much as you can. It just seems like a waste of energy. And I think it's really sad. You know, desperately trying to stay away from something with the facade of being a part of it. really sad. And I reckon this time of year is a really good time of year to remember the kind of God that you could be running to. One that is still ready and ready to welcome you back with open arms. So I'd like you to think about, you know, what you could be using your energy on and run for a reason. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, you know how often we turn our backs on you. We get scared, we get embarrassed, and we run away. We choose to deny our faith when we should be celebrating it, embracing it. So Lord, I just ask, if there's anyone here this morning and they're sitting here thinking that that's me, I want help with that, then we pray that you'll come into their lives and help them. Help them to be bold in their faith and not shy, to run with purpose back to you. Because Lord, we know that you're always there to welcome us back with open arms. And we just commit all of this to you now, in your Son's precious and mighty name. Amen.